You are joining Making a Difference with Melissa Clark, a new show that shares the compelling stories and voices of well-known and everyday people who change the world in big and small ways. Enjoy our guests, call in, or just listen to be inspired, for this show was made with you in mind. Please join us every Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with our special guests. And you can listen to our recast at www.melissaclarkshow.com.
Mindy Barnett, thank you so much for joining us on our intermission lunch.
Yay, intermission.
Yeah, we're doing a quick break. We're doing a nice lunch break, girl talk. You and I work together. Mindy Barnett is a former reporter and anchor. She is a proprietor for MB and Associates, a beautiful PR firm here in the East Coast. And, you know, we work with so many PR firms. Your people are so amazing.
Oh, and that's sweet. I appreciate you saying that because you really do.
Thank you so much. We do work with you a lot. I work with so many PR people on the show and for Preferred Health Magazine. So we want to thank you so much for you guys being so great to us. It's so wonderful.
You're great to work with, and you're great to me and my clients, and that's all good. We need each other, so.
We love your clients.
I appreciate that. I have to ask, though, because if looking at the screenshot, I'm uber cash, and you look so glam and fab.
Thanks.
Get that fabulous jacket. I want it immediately.
Thank you so much. This is Eli Balah, and I met him last year at Fashion Week, and, you know, everybody's having such a hard time with this pandemic. So yeah. I said, you know what? Give me some of your jackets. I'd like to wear them. And they're really nice. They have brooches all over them. They're very good. When Dr. Kelly and I, we did the walkway, that's where I met him. And
that's cool.
Yeah, we did the runway last year.
Cool. I have to give me his info when we're done because I want to get one.
Thank you so much.
A copycat.
Yeah, no,
at the same place.
his jackets are so fabulous. And they're very nice. They're well made. And Eli Balah, thank you so much for letting me wear this on my show. And I got my dog mom shirt.
oh, that's cool.
But here we are back to you. I want to interview you because you are a fascinating woman and you are just an amazing person. So how was it writing this book? What measures did you have to take to finalize it as well?
Well, okay. So Melissa, I, like yourself, always love to write, you know, that's sort of ingrained in you and your news or what have you. And I always thought I wanted to write a book. I would eventually write a book. I just didn't know what I'd write about. So when I finally came up with the topic, it was supposed to be about co-parenting because my ex-husband and I did that very peacefully. We still maintain that nice, calm sea most of the time. A lot of people were admiring that, and I wanted to kind of share my business tactics that I and he both take to enable the kids to have a peaceful existence despite the fact that we're divorced, right?
Right.
So, when I started doing that, I wrote I wouldn't call it a full proposal, but it's essentially what you'd see on the back flip of the cover there, you know, what it's essentially about.
Yeah.
And was very lucky. It's sort of the way my career has always worked out. I've always helped people. People have been very helpful with me. I was put in touch with a publisher who met me for a drink. I think it was just to do a favor of the person who put us in touch, but was very intrigued by my background and my, you know, experience working in news, starting a business, and all the drama and fun stories and success stories and failures that go along with that. So kind of talked me down a line to not only dive into the divorce and the co-parenting, but also shares my personal story and how I came to be, you know, a successful publicist and all of that. So I basically got the publisher before I wrote the book, which is very backwards. Usually people at least have a full proposal done, which is basically a chapter or two, a real full scope of who the audience is going to be that purchases the book, if they want a publisher, or a lot of people go down the route of publishing it themselves. So that was my story. And then I wrote the book based on just sort of very therapeutic for me is the stories just started flowing. At first I was like, I had a very short timeline to turn the book around. My manuscript was due in 6 months, which is really very short of a time frame. But I was like, yes, I'll do it, whatever. Tomorrow if I have to, you know, like if someone gives you an opportunity, you just jump. That's always been the way I've been. And it just kind of flowed out of me after that. But it's grueling. I mean, I'm not going to tell a lie. It is a lot of work, but it's a passion project, basically. It's like a labor of love, literally. You broke the book.
Yeah, and you talk about your hardships in divorce. You said that was therapeutic. I mean, how did you feel afterward? Did your husband read the book? Your ex-husband?
Yes, he did read the book. And there's like a couple chapters in there that aren't exactly to his liking. I just wanted to tell the truth. I wasn't sure if I was going to include part of that story in there, but it is my story. And I felt like I would be doing an injustice to readers if I wasn't completely authentic and honest. So never said anything bad about him. I really don't have anything negative to say about him. We just weren't good fits for one another, but he was very upset about that. That is true. And that kind of hindered our relationship a little bit for like a month or so. And then I forgave him for things. He forgave me for this. So, you know, we're fine now. The divorce itself is not therapeutic. I went to a lot of therapy.
Yeah.
And anybody going through divorce loans, you absolutely have to, but
wow.
Book was therapeutic for me because I relived a lot of what I experienced, and it helped me kind of see things in a very subjective way because it was on paper and it was like it wasn't a third party writing it. I obviously wrote it in my own person and all of that, and it was my experience. But it was like a year or so after the fact, so it was softer for me to take, if that makes sense.
Well, they say that a divorce is worse than a death to go through.
I don't know. I mean, I don't want to jinx myself. I haven't experienced a lot of deaths, like for people that have been super close to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I had my dog that was with me for 16 years died, and I went to a slight depression.
That's trauma.
Child, I know you can relate. You have a dog and it's like your baby. But I'm very lucky. Both of my parents are still alive. I had grandparents pass away that I was close with when I was in my 20s, but I haven't really experienced death like with anybody super close.
Right.
So I never mean to say, but it was a death. I mean, we had a marriage. We were married for 10 years. We shared a life together. I mean, we still share the kids together. And part of my life is shared with him because of that. And it always will be. And I still think he's family. And like, I love him. I just don't love him in that way of having him as a husband. But it's hard. I mean, it was a hard choice. And I'm one that I didn't make overnight. I took a long time to ponder what was best for me and the children. And hence intermission was like my pause. And it was a lot of back and forth and a lot of therapy and a lot of reaching out to mediums to talk to like my grandparents and soul searching and, you know, just doing lots of different things. And I share some of my tactics throughout the book. I call them power passages. So the book is like basically laid out with a memoir of my story with the divorce and also like different things that happened along the way with the career and things of that nature and choices that I made after the divorce to better myself and so forth. But throughout the book, I also have these power passages woven through that are mini chapters that are basically actionable tactics that I implement into my day-to-day that I will share with readers. So maybe implement one or two to help them with whatever they're going through. So.
And I'm sure it does help them, you know, my question to you is, what would you tell a divorcee, starting out again on the scene, on the dating scene?
Well, I would first tell a divorcee to take time for themselves because, the first thing, and I know because this is how I felt too, the first thing you want to do when you see something ending, and especially when you're unhappy for a long time, like I was, you're like so anxious to like have happiness, right? Like,
yes.
You go back out there and you sort of date. And I don't necessarily, having done that a little bit, mm-hmm. I don't think that's the best path to take. I think the best path for someone who's newly divorced is to hang out with girlfriends. If you don't have a lot, make some new ones. Maybe take, I hate to call it a hobby, but some sort of something to serve yourself and serve your soul. Right. Focus on your children, because obviously if you have them, because that was always my first priority, married and unmarried, you know, making sure that their lives are somewhat stable and, fulfilled, and they were content and they were having quote normal life, if you will. And then eventually, you know, test the waters. My first relationship was not necessarily one that I shared that I knew before I was divorced, that we were friends, and it evolved into more. And it wasn't really the right choice. Lovely, they really are, but I didn't handle things like the way I should have. I think I was just in a very vulnerable place and made decisions based on what my heart was telling me as opposed to my head. Right. And that's the other thing when you're newly divorced, like you're like a wounded bird almost, in a sense, whether you admit it or not. I mean, there, like you said earlier, divorce is definitely a death.
Yeah.
You mourn that, whether you're genuinely sad or not, you need to mourn that break and work on yourself and then move on to the next. So I would say when you do test the waters, when it's not COVID-19.
Yeah.
The best things to do is, like, you know, go out with your girlfriends, go to like a restaurant lounge or a bar and see who's out there, or dive into like a Bumble, because I'm not endorsing Bumble or any other platform, but I think that out of all of them, from a female's perspective, I think that's the best one, because you don't get inundated with messages from men, or depending on who you like, women too. You have to be the one to reach out first, which I like, because I did do Match before. I've never done Tinder, but I've done Match before, and I did Hinge before. And
Hinge? What's Hinge?
They just like flood you. I mean, I think it's like, that's just how it is. Like, because we're
women,
you know? So this is, you have a little more control and you can sort of like, it's not as overwhelming.
What's Hinge though? I've never heard of that. That's a new Hinge? Dating. Yeah.
Oh, Hinge is good. You should do Hinge.
I don't know about that.
Hinge is, it's like, it's, well, you don't swipe, right?
Yeah.
It's not like that. You just X, or I forget what it is, but just like X or O. But it's just another, I found that the caliber of men in Hinge, with Hinge, I should say, were a little better. I thought they were a little more together. They seemed to have more, they were more professional men. They just seemed to be more like the types of men I was looking for. I just don't, and I might go back to Hinge. I just like to stick to one at a time. Because otherwise it's like,
you get overwhelmed.
It's very overwhelming. And
but can I just tell you?
I'm on a deal, but it's like, why are you even on it? And then get mad if you don't write them back. And like, I mean, I'm on Bumble right now just because I like to do research for the show. And I also like seeing who's around. And this week was just a monster for me with work, and I didn't have time to look at that app. And I don't like giving out my phone number because it's so much easier if they just text me. But then these random people are texting me. I don't want that either. So, you know, the ones that you're talking, not all these people. Like,
but do you really get to that?
My
experience.
Like, you didn't write me back in 2 days. I was like, I'm sorry, dude. I wasn't on the site. Like, I was working, trying to earn the fuck. The girl's got it.
But my question to you is, do a lot of men feel intimidated for the work that you do and the people that you know?
You know, it's so interesting you should say this. I don't want to sound like snobby to say, but I think yes. And I think it's almost, and it's sad, especially in today's day and age, and I could be wrong, but this is my interpretation, right? I think that the kind of man I am attracted to most of, in stereotypically, right? No, they do not want a woman like me. They don't want a woman who's busy, who's focused fully. I mean, I have my PR firm and the book I'm busy with, and I can't speak, and I'm also launching a retreat company, and I'm launching an online course that I'm doing with a few other women, and might be putting an event side to, like, mm-hmm. I have my hands in a bunch of different things, and that's just how I've always been. And I also want to go back to school. I want to get my master's degree in psychology.
So do you have time to date?
I'm sorry?
You have time to date?
That's what they say. I was actually driving today, and honestly, because I had an issue with one of the guys I was dating, and I used that in past tense because I'm not anymore. Mm-hmm. I kind of ended that with him this morning because he's just not serving me. So I'm like, I'm not wasting my time with him. But I was like, I need to make it a priority, I guess. But then I also love all my endeavors. So like, I think for me, like, I'm going to focus on my endeavors, and when the right one comes around, then maybe I'll reprioritize. But then it's like, you have to hope they come around because you're not out there looking for them because you're so busy with your, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. Maybe my kids are a little bit older.
Yeah.
I'll take the time that I was running them around to the activities and stuff like that. And then maybe be more, I don't know. Yes. To answer your question, yes. I definitely think that my career is hindering my dating life. Yes.
100%. So being a single career woman and mother, when do you have these gentlemen meet your children? At what point do you?
That's an interesting one. So everybody has a different like rule of thumb. For me and my ex-husband, we decided when we were getting divorced, it was more my doing than his, but he went along with it because he agreed it was a good idea, that we were going to wait 4 months that we were dating someone before we introduced the children.
Okay.
The tricky part is, when do you tell the other person that you're in a relationship? Do you tell them right away, okay, I'm starting to date somebody, or a little closer to that 4 month mark? I decided I've not dated anybody long enough
for them to get to that point.
Anybody yet?
Yeah. But
when I do, I think it'll be like 3 months in or so, or maybe 2 months, you know, when I see that it's definitely going in the right way, then I'll give him a heads up. And then, so he's not like, I'm like, oh, they're going to meet them. It's been 4 months. I don't necessarily like to share my private life with him, and right. He doesn't share any of his private life with me. And it's like, makes for a more peaceful exit. Not that I just like, I don't know. I feel almost bad that like to tell him I'm dating someone, you know, but I guess I'm over that. But I just don't want a revolving door for the kids to have all these different people in and out of their lives that they get. My hope would be that they would get close to the person that I'm spending time with and dating. Yeah. And then they would almost be like, you know, kind of part of the family in some shape. And, you know, until I am in a true serious relationship where we might get married, get engaged, maybe move in, like something like that. And it's looking really solid. Then I'll introduce them. But I have friends that the kids meet them after 3 dates, you know, and their kids are
friends. Oh, no.
Yeah. I mean, it's all depends, but
yeah,
more conservative. I also am like protective of the time I spend with my kids. So
sure.
It really has to be a special person for me to be like, okay, it's my weekend with the kids and I'm going to share them with you. Not that they were like, oh, I want your kids, but you know, like I like to just be with my kid. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I could only imagine what a mother goes through. I feel bad with my dog. You don't get to meet my dog until I
come. Well, your dog is so special. I love your doggy.
I know. He gets so attached to people, and he'll tell me which guy to pick and which guy, you know, he's like, all right, I like this guy. I don't like this guy. Like he's very good with that. You know, as far
that's
as
that's good. The dog.
Yeah. I really love him. Dog mom. okay, so I want to go back. I want to talk about your show, The Race for the Ring.
Yeah,
podcast show. I love it. I've been on it. We discussed dating, and I got really intimate with you, which I don't know if I'll get on this show, but
it's all good.
Yeah, no, it's such a great show. Tell us about it.
Thank you. So The Race for the Ring, I launched in February, and it's, as you said, it's a dating podcast. And it's on Apple Podcasts, it's on Stitcher now, it's also on, on Spotify.
Spotify, good.
And it's basically kind of dives into different issues that come up with dating. So I interviewed a woman who wrote a book, she was actually on Oprah and a lot of other places when the book initially came out.
Nice.
Her MO is that she likes to date younger men, and she's in her 60s and her boyfriends have been in their like 30s and like that. So she's a big advocate for going younger.
Yeah.
And then I'm dated. That's funny. And then I've interviewed people, like I just interviewed this past show that just dropped on Thursday. It was actually like a neurologist who specializes in substance abuse intervention and getting people into recovery mode and things of that nature. But we focus on, if you're dating somebody who is an alcoholic or a recovering drug addict, how do you handle it? And like, when is appropriate time for you to share that information?
Right.
If you're going out with him, should you order a glass of wine? Should you not? Like things like that. So it really kind of encompasses everything. We've interviewed people like you. We have like really fun stories to share about dating in New York. And we've interviewed, I'm interviewing like, you know, someone who specializes, who's like kind of done the whole circuit with all of the apps. You know, dating in LA, I had another guest who talked a lot. It's very different than dating in New York. You'd be shocked yes. how different it is. Like Hollywood and like all of that. So less is more out there, because the people that have me, you're on a date with them, usually it's fake and it's all right. that. And it's
I've
all
heard that.
Geographical situations because you drive everywhere and, you know, things like that. So it's just a fun show. I always wanted to have a podcast when they started becoming popular, and I was originally going to do one about the book and make it more of like an entrepreneurial type of a podcast. And I still may, but I was like, you know, my book talks about dating too. And I have funny stories and my friends have funny stories. So
yeah.
It could be entertaining. And you know, it's doing really well. I have a really strong audience now. We have a sponsor of the podcast.
That's awesome. A jeweler,
Furco's Fine Jewelry. I'm giving a little plug because it's called The Race for the Ring.
Yes.
But the premise of it isn't so much only about horror stories and like funny stories and like awesome stories about dating. It's also about finding your inner love, like you're loving yourself, which is ideally, the ring could be an engagement ring for some women and men it is.
Yeah.
And others, the ring is just like sort of a symbol of, you know, being on top of your mountain and like loving yourself and being content with you.
Yeah.
When you're happy with you, then the other person will walk through the door.
You know, I am getting there. I'm actually just tapping into like my spirituality right now. So I'm not ready for someone to come in because I am not like completely there yet. Mm-hmm. So once I get there, you know, you have to be happy with yourself first before.
That is 150% the message of the show. Like
yeah.
every single show, but yes, like the love or the relationship is icing on your amazing like 5-tier cake, right?
Yeah.
Filler and fruit and, you know, chocolate chips and all of that good stuff already baked. The icing is just the part. You can eat the cake without the icing. The icing is better, but you don't eat it. It also adds calories.
But there are also a lot of women who cannot be alone, and men, they can't be alone. So this is why everybody has a lot of failed relationships.
Right.
And, you know, right. they use sex as a, you know, as a cover up. And, you know, you get tired of it. You know, I just stopped dating somebody. And now I'm thinking about calling another guy that I dated before, but he just plays games. He doesn't want to have a relationship.
Yeah. And I understand that, because like after I sort of ended things with this other guy this morning on a text, literally like 30 seconds later, another guy that comes in and out of my life.
Yes.
Me, like Happy New Year or whatever, because it's, you know, the Jewish holiday season or what have you.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, I'm going to go tonight. And I was like, no.
I know.
Hanging out. No, it's fine. But yeah, you do need to look. And you know, like I'm not a therapist yet, but I think that the people that do look for relationships immediately when one ends, because they can't be alone. There are so many people like that. I know people like that too.
Yeah.
They really need to go to a therapist or like work on themselves. Because they're never, ever, ever going to be happy with somebody else when they're not happy with themselves. Like there's no way. It's just like basically pouring, I don't know, like paint on like a cracked like wall. Like it's going to crack through eventually. Like, you know, it might cover up the crack for like a month or so, but eventually it's going to dry and it's going to split and you're going to have the same crack.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I totally agree. Let's discuss your, how are you doing with this pandemic and dating? Because there's really not much you can do. I mean, now you can kind of go out to outside restaurants.
Yeah.
But so I would be afraid to even like kiss somebody. You don't know.
No, I know.
If they have the COVID.
It's scary. Well, the guy I was dating before this we had dated before the pandemic. We've been mouthing on for like that. The guy that texted the Happy New Year, I've known for like maybe 3 years. Mm-hmm. And he's also medical, he's a doctor. So like, I figure he's probably safe. And then I'm dating somebody else that, was like a business associate who's also in the medical field. He too is a doctor. So I think he's probably, I haven't kissed him yet, but like, I think he's.
Where do you meet all these guys? I'm lucky if I can even get
a swipe. Well, the one that's from 3 years ago, Melissa, I knew him before. Like I did it before. I set up with him. The guy that I broke up with, I met out before the pandemic. And this other guy.
You are so far.
Is he's like, I met him from work. Like he's not a client, but he's like works with my clients and stuff like that. So
yeah.
like there's that. So it's sort of like being out and about. Yeah. And that's kind of it. But I am on Bumble, as I said, I am talking to some other people, and I actually am seeing somebody in New York next week who comes in and out of my life also, who's so, you know, after I ended it with this other guy this morning, I was like, this one always is sweet to me. He's always like so nice. And I don't know. Maybe I was just not in the right place when we were dating initially. But mm-hmm. I'm going to give him another chance because he's nice. Like he's a nice guy. So I'm probably going to do lunch or something with him.
Yeah.
And then the guys on Bumble, like I would meet for a 6 feet apart drink. I met one guy in the park once, like for coffee. Like we both brought our coffee and talked.
Yeah.
That was the one and only because it wasn't a good fit. But yeah, I would be scared to kiss. I'd be like, if I didn't know the person and like trust them, I would make them get a test, I think. Because I don't want to bring that virus into my family.
No.
My parents, like, it's scary. It's, like, really bad.
Yeah, but do you think this is the best time for dating right now? Do you think people are mentally stable?
Ever?
I'm certainly not right now.
I'm totally joking.
I'm not.
I don't know. I mean, you know... Yeah. There's a lot of research and stories and things that we haven't even seen the tip of the iceberg in terms of health in our country. But I also think that being in this pandemic and having isolation makes people lonely and miss human touch and human contact. So I think you need to take a chance. I'm not saying take a chance and like be risky and like make out with somebody you're not sure doesn't have COVID-19 or, you know, whatever, but I'm saying take a chance and give your heart a shot and do it safely. And just be smart about your choices. Like if you see a red flag, even if it's a shade of maroon, leave, you know? I mean, that's much easier said than done, but like, yeah. It's so much easier to get out of a relationship or a beginning of a relationship at the start as opposed to the middle or the end. Because the longer you stay and give them chances and da 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 da, you get attached to them. I mean, that's how I always have been. So I've learned now that if I don't feel it, like the first or second date, like, or there's like something, like one guy, oh my God, I have to tell you this story. So this one guy, I've almost said his name, I'm not going to.
Keep him anonymous. We'll call him Scott.
I honestly forgot we were even recording. I'm like, talking like a friend, which we are. So this guy, I was set up with this guy. Mm-hmm. And I met him once. I met him this summer. We had a lovely dinner. He doesn't live in New York City. He lives in New York. And he drove in to see me when I was in town. They go back and forth. I live there and I live in like the Philly area, as you know. But
yeah.
Some of your viewers and listeners may not. Yeah. So at any rate, awesome date. Great. And ever so often he would like text me like something that I would have liked probably if we were dating for like maybe 4 or 5 months.
Sure.
But you know, one date, like, no, dude, you're not, don't say that to me. You know,
did you get a pic?
I didn't get a pic. I would have like vomited if I got that.
Yeah.
I would get like comments about like M's, like
get that out of here. I'd be like,
yeah, like I see a picture I posted on Instagram, or he'd be like, so delicious. I'm like,
come on.
I'm like, I don't like that. That's not cool. Like you're
no.
And I'm not prude. I'm like a 46-year-old woman. Like I like to get it
yeah,
off.
Yeah, but you're a classy 46-year-old woman.
Yeah. Oh God, thanks. I am. I'm an old goat, but that's okay. I mean, I liked Like, I like sex. I mean, I do.
Yeah.
You're all lying if you don't like sex. If you don't like sex, you got a problem. I like sex. But I don't.
But you don't like it when they're first starting. Like,
oh my God, this is trying to go viral. I swear to God. You're but it was just good.
You're so funny.
I've never been. And I'm really not like this, but you're bringing it out of me.
You're so funny.
Here's how you were with me on my show. So, and
I know I said I wasn't going to discuss anything, but you know what? Let's just enjoy it.
It's okay. It's all good. Yeah. So anyway, I posted a picture. I was like in my pajamas and it was like not sexy pajamas. They were like cotton, like shorts, like I don't even a tank top. Like it was nothing. And it was showing my tan. I got like a spray tan.
Yeah.
Cropped the picture to my like waist down. It was like a zoom in of like my, you know, shorts say, whatever, with the way I was sitting. And he wrote, "Too yummy."
Come on.
And texted that to me and I was like boiling angry. And I was like, you know what? This is just disrespectful. Like, I don't know you that well. Like, I want to do all that stuff, but like, I want a guy to like court me. I mean, like, and like not make me feel like I'm just like someone to hook up with. And how he made me feel. And I said it to him in a very, I had no intention of going out with him again, but I wanted him to know that this isn't cool, but I wasn't B-I-T-C-H-E. Mm-hmm. I was very like, you know, direct, but I was nice. And he's like, "It was just a picture of you." And I'm like, "Oh my God, no, it wasn't. It was my crotch." And if you had cropped up my face, because my face is in the shot too, smiling or whatever it was, then and said, "Oh, you're so pretty," or "Oh, whatever," then I would have been thrilled. But that's cool. And so that, I mean, I'm not ever going out with him ever. He's going to be now. He's just going to be like that. Like, screw that. So.
I think as we get older,
that was my answer.
Yeah, but as we get older, you know, I'm 40. I did all that in my 20s. I told you that, and I'm not interested in that anymore. You know, now it's just you want to find a life companion and a friend. And
right.
These guys. And that's why these dating websites or these Tinders and all that, I never have any luck on them. So
I know, because a lot of them just want to do that, and that's how I feel. I'm like, I date guys that are my age or a little older typically, and I'm always like thinking to myself when they're just looking to hook up, I'm like, if I'm gonna just like, I wouldn't, but I'm saying, if I'm gonna just hook up with somebody, I'm gonna go out with a 25 or
that's right,
who's like has like a body, I'm like, you know, like not a.
If you're gonna do it. Yeah, do it.
Hair. I'm like, no, like somebody, right. Like yeah. I'm like, I know I could probably hook up with one of them. Like any woman probably could. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you want? I don't want that. I want like you. I want a best friend. I want a partner. I want like someone that appreciates me and respects me, and all of the steamy sex and everything too. But like, I want all that other stuff first, and then that. If that makes sense.
No, of course it does. But also, you like your alone time, right? You have your time with your children. You have your career. I mean, so it all has to, you know, I want to do my own thing. I want him to do his own thing. And then we meet.
Yeah.
You know, I don't
want. That's healthy. That's totally healthy. Yeah. And that's, I feel like I could never be with somebody who was with me all the time. I would die. But.
it gets.
It's always been that way. But I mean, yeah. But it's cool to have someone to talk to at night. Like to say, how was your day?
Of course.
I'm very blessed. I have a lot of really good girlfriends and amazing friendships. And you're one of them. And I know I'm very blessed to have that. Many don't, you know. I mean, I am missing that.
You need that companionship, you know. Mm-hmm. You'll get it one day. I have confidence in you. tell us about your next book. You have a you're about to publish, or you're about to write another book.
Yes. So I am going to start writing my second book, hopefully in the next week or so. Mm-hmm. I'm meeting actually with my publisher next week in New York to flesh out like a timeline and deadlines and things of that nature. It is going to be similar to that book in the sense that it's going to be a memoir style, but I'm also going to interview some people who, it's going to be a women's, my publisher wants it to be under the self-improvement category, but it's going to be more business skewed. The theme of the book is the fact that I think, and I'm going to interview people like agree or disagree, and I don't have to necessarily agree, but I think that being a being a feminine woman in the working world is sort of a lost art. I think that because of Me Too, while it's so important, I think, and even before that too, just women trying to fit in a man's world, I think that being feminine and being soft has been frowned upon. And yes, women collectively work very hard to show that they aren't those things. And I think that we need to embrace that. And I also focus in the book, or I will be focusing in the book, a lot on my experience having been in the Miss America organization as a contestant through
how was that
youth when I was young.
Wow.
And the life lessons that I learned through that experience, as well as business lessons. I think that that pageant and pageants in general have gotten a very bad rap. And some of it's warranted and very rightfully so, but a lot of it is not, in my opinion. And having been through the process, I can speak from the first person in that. And I do believe that my experience having been in that organization really helped me, if not secured my opportunity in television news. I was able to go on interviews with confidence and handle myself in very tough situations, having been a reporter with a grain of confidence too from that experience that I had in the pageant industry. So it's not going to be a pageant book, but I'm definitely going to cover that and probably interview like some well-known names that have gone through the process as well. And some very prominent women leaders in the business world, and then share my own anecdotes and so forth. So
intermission, you can get this on Amazon or?
Amazon, Barnes & Noble, anywhere books are sold. Yep.
Great. Check it out. Thank you so much. You're the best of
the best. Thank you, Melissa.
Bye, darling.
Bye.
Please head over to www.elieballeh.com to order men's or boys' dress shirts, pants, or a custom-made jacket. At the end of the checkout, put in Making a Difference in the promo code to get 50% off. The promo is good until December 31st. Happy Halloween!
If you have a vegan product, make your vegan claim official with the only accredited vegan trademark in the world. Visit www.beveg.com. That's www.beveg.com to apply now. Making a Difference is sponsored by Preferred Health Magazine. Please visit www.preferredhealthmagazine.com today and subscribe.